there's a better place to get your podcasts. GCNLive.com. Hundreds of thousands of hours. Archive for your listening pleasure. All free at GCNLive.com.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
The only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
I'm not a crook.
If you like your health care plan, you'll be able to keep your health care plan.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, fire.
You're listening to Jim Paris Live, your source for the latest news on money, politics, prophecy, and preparedness. And now your host, the editor-in-chief of ChristianMoney.com and the author of more than 30 books, Jim Paris.
All right, welcome to hour number two of the broadcast. Jim Paris here with you live on Sunday nights. And just speaking to our control center there in Minneapolis, Minnesota. I just sent over to you, Patrick, the phone number for producer Faith. I actually sent you the wrong number. Let me type that in again here for you. And she has some more information for you. I just typed in the number for her there on the Stack 6. A little inside baseball here, folks. The show originates from Florida, my home, but our technical and engineering and all of that is done up in Minneapolis. And our guest, David Yonke, we're trying to track him down, and producer Faith is working on a backup phone number. And the name of the book is Sin, Shame, and Secrets, A True Story of the Murder of a Nun, the Conviction of a Priest, and the Cover-Up in the Catholic Church. And this is a shocking story. This is an hour that you do not want to have your kids listening with you to this hour. This is just a shocking story, and we're going to get into it tonight with our guest, David Yonke. And he is a religion writer and has been a religion writer for a couple of decades. And this isn't normally the kind of story that you cover as a religion writer. The story here, I'll give you sort of the quick thumbnail of it. And if we can track down David, we'll do the interview. If not, we'll go on to other business here tonight. The thumbnail sketch is this. A nun in Toledo, Ohio is brutally, and I mean brutally, murdered. Murdered in a way that would be akin to a demonic ceremonial sacrifice. And in the end, it turns out that the murderer, who is convicted, so we can say this, we don't have to say alleged all night, the convicted murderer was a priest, and the priest's name was Father Gerald Robinson. And the book is one of these books where, I know I say this many times about books and guests that we have, this is a page turner, as we say in the business, but I really mean it when I say it about this book. And a couple of things about this that really turned my stomach. One is sort of the nature of what happened, which is that the Catholic Church seemingly ran interference for this priest and made it very, very difficult for there to be a prosecution. And the other part of this that really turned my stomach is that the priest himself presided over the funeral of the nun that he himself murdered. I don't know how it gets any stranger than that. And I'm told we have David Yonke with us. David Yonke, I've been kind of setting the table here for you. My apologies, sir, if we had some confusion on the phone number we were supposed to call. But in any case, good to have you with us.
Well, thank you very
very much. It's a pleasure to be here, Jim.
Yes. Now, let's start by introducing you properly. I understand, are you still a religion writer? Is that still your beat?
Yes, I run a religion news website in Toledo called Toledo Faith and Values. It's affiliated with the Religion News Service. So I am still doing that, although I am also working some as a freelance writer and also doing other reporting.
Okay, very, very good. The book is very well written, very well documented. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I'm not quite 100% finished with it, so forgive some of my questions if they might come off as someone who hasn't quite finished the book, because honestly, I haven't quite finished it. I heard your interview that you did on Coast to Coast AM a few weeks ago with George Knapp as well, and boy, that was riveting to listen to. I don't even know, honestly, if we could be as graphic tonight as what you were on his show in describing the actual scene that this... we'll go into some of it, but boy, this is just horrible. Now, as a religion writer, is this like a first for you to get into covering a gruesome murder like this? Obviously, this isn't something that would normally be on the religion beat, right? I mean, you would be talking about a new priest in town, or maybe a new church being built, or maybe something as scandalous as an affair between a pastor and a secretary. How often have you gotten into anything like this?
Well, that's a really good question, because it was kind of out of the realm of possibility for a religion reporter for a mainstream newspaper to delve into such a gruesome murder and just such a bizarre crime. But before I became a religion reporter for the Toledo Blight, I had covered a lot of court trials, and you know, I had paid my dues, you know, being a cub reporter covering murders and things like that. So I had experience in that kind of area, but not when you link it with religion. It just didn't seem, it seemed incongruous that the two would come together.
Now, let's start by establishing a timeline here. When did this murder actually occur? Give us a year, and then tell us when the priest was actually tried and convicted, because I know there was quite a long time span between the actual murder and then the conviction of the priest.
Yes, exactly. The Sister Margaret Ann Paul was murdered on Holy Saturday, 1980. Father Gerald Robinson was arrested in April of 2003.
Wow.
No, I'm sorry, 2004. He was being investigated in 2003, was arrested in April 2004. So it was 24 years after the murder.
Now, talk about cold cases. That sounds almost unprecedented. And during those 20-plus years, was there like an initial thought that the priest, Gerald Robinson, that he was a suspect in the beginning stages? Is it not indicated in your book that he kind of immediately became suspect number one? And if that's the case, how did it take over 20 years for them to zero back in on him again? What happened over those 20 years? Did somebody go to Disney World for 20 years? What in the world happened there?
Well, the story is like too strange to be fiction. You know, it could only be a true story, or nobody would ever believe it. But what happened was shortly after the murder, the police interviewed 600 people, and within a week, the lead detective told me, looking back, you know, when I started writing on the case in the 2000s, the lead detective in 1980 said within a week, they had narrowed it down to one suspect, and that was Father Gerald Robinson.
So that was within a week, but then over 20 years goes by, and then they come back to him again. Was there a public outcry? What brought the pressure? I mean, almost after 20 years, I hate to even say it, but almost why bother after 20 years? You know, I mean, obviously there's no statute of limitations on murder, and I certainly don't mean that when I say that, but I say that sarcastically. We'll get the answer to that question. We'll also get the backstory here. I want to find out who this nun was. What is her backstory? Who is this priest? What is his backstory? And what possible motive could there have been for the only priest to ever be prosecuted for the murder of a nun? We'll have that right after this. Stay tuned.
He became a millionaire by the age of 30, but ended up in bankruptcy, losing it all by the age of 40. The amazing story of one man driven to the brink of death after becoming the victim of an embezzlement scheme. After planning his own suicide, he turned to God and discovered a secret so powerful that it changed his life forever. How to Pray for a Financial Miracle is more than just one man's story of beating the odds and rebuilding his life after a total financial collapse. It's a book that reveals a life-changing prayer method that anyone can use to find hope during life's darkest financial trials. You will learn how to enlist God's help in solving your financial problems, the biggest prayer mistake most people make when approaching God with a financial need, how prayer can provide you with immediate answers and direction to your most pressing financial issues, How to Pray for a Financial Miracle, an Amazon.com bestseller from James L. Paris, the editor of ChristianMoney.com, How to Pray for a Financial Miracle, available in paperback or for Kindle from Amazon.com.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw-free enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
If you constantly feel run down and tired, your pH level might be low and your body could be full of toxins. If what you drink is not at a pH level of 8 or higher, you are inviting bacteria and acid to thrive in your body. But there is something you can do. Simply add 10 drops of AlkaVision plasma pH drops to your water to help your body rid itself of acidic waste, increase oxygen, and raise your pH balance to optimum levels. AlkaVision plasma pH drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals in the world, alkalizing the water you drink, ridding your body of acidic waste and toxins, and helping you regain energy and vibrant health. And studies show viruses, bacteria, and toxins cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision plasma pH drops at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
You are listening to Jim Paris Live.
All right, we are back. We are live on Sunday nights. And my guest this hour, David Yonke, the book, Sin, Shame, and Secrets, A True Story of the Murder of a Nun, The Conviction of a Priest, and the Cover-Up in the Catholic Church. And before we got sidetracked here with the commercials, we were talking, David, about the timeline. So in 1980, the nun is murdered, and we want to use her name here, Margaret Ann Paul, is murdered by Father Gerald Robinson. So within a week, he's identified as suspect number one in 1980. But it's not until more than 20 years, actually 24 years later, that there is a conviction of Father Gerald Robinson, who right away, as you said, was identified as a suspect. And I know much of your book gets into this, but give us your thoughts on why it took more than two decades to get justice for this murdered nun.
Well, Jim, if you think back to 1980, the Catholic Church was very powerful. It was before the clerical sexual abuse scandal erupted in 2002. And people put their priests on pedestals. And also, there were a lot of people of influence in the community who were devout Catholics. And, you know, there was an unwritten rule among the police that you just never arrested a priest. You know, typically that was for minor, you know, infractions or drunk driving or, you know, some kind of, you know, violent outburst or something like that. But, you know, nobody ever thought that that rule would apply in the case of a murder. But what happened was, you know, the priest was the main suspect, but the detectives who were investigating were getting pressure from their higher-ups, you know, not to arrest a priest. And so they were, you know, they were interrogating him one time at the police station, and in the middle of the interrogation, they were interrupted by the deputy police chief, a Catholic Monsignor, and an attorney, and they escorted Father Robinson out of the police safety building, as they called it, out the door, and that effectively ended the investigation. But way back, you know, just that was 2 weeks after the murder. So there was just a lot of pressure not to arrest a priest. And, you know, the detectives were frustrated. They knew, you know, that, well, they suspected that he was the man, but their hands were tied.
So we fast forward to the early 2000s. Was there some sort of an organized effort to try to get this case looked at again? What's the backstory on how this case didn't just get forgotten forever?
Well, the Lucas County Prosecutor's Office formed a cold case squad in the late 1990s, and they were looking back at some of the unsolved murders, but this one had still, you know, been dormant until in 2003, she was another nun who belonged to a different religious order than the victim, went to the Toledo Diocese and asked for them to help pay for her counseling bills and medications because she said she had been abused as a child by a cult, a satanic cult, and that one of the, well, she named two members of the cult as being Catholic priests. So when she brought that up, the diocese tried to reject her story, saying that it was just too far-fetched to believe. But one of the members of the review board said, you know, she's alleging that there's a satanic cult and that they murdered children, sacrificed children. So we really are not law enforcement. We should turn this over to the police and let them investigate it. Eventually, he brought her written testimony to the Attorney General, the Ohio Attorney General's office, who told the Lucas County prosecutors to look into the case. So that's a really strange twist, but because of this second nun who came before the Toledo Diocese seeking, you know, financial help with her counseling and pharmaceuticals, the case ended up being brought back.
What you just said there about the satanic cult, that sort of just rolled off your tongue, and I'm sure that our listeners' jaws have hit the floor once again, introducing that aspect to this. And that's the same reaction I had in reading the book. Is it not enough that it's a priest murdering a nun? Now we introduce a satanic cult into this story. As you said, it would never sell as a script because it would not be believable. But as we know, truth is sometimes stranger than fiction, and that certainly is the case here. So in the 2004 arrest and trial, was there a full-blown trial? Did the priest just plead guilty? You finally caught me. I'm guilty. I want to clear my conscience. How did that all come together?
Well, he was arrested in 2004, and the trial was actually 2006, so it took a while to come to trial. But the Toledo Diocese hired a couple of retired detectives to look into this nun's testimony about the priest being in a satanic cult. And these were, like, you know, grizzled veterans, and they also happened to be Catholic. And they looked into the nun's allegations, and they said that, you know, they couldn't prove it, but one of them told me that he believed she was telling the truth. The other detective that was hired by the diocese said that, you know, he can't prove or disprove it. He believes that the nun thinks she's telling the truth, but he really would need some outside corroboration to move forward with it. So there was no charges as far as the satanic cult, but it did come up during the trial, because the prosecutors brought in an exorcist from Chicago to testify about all the occult signs at the murder scene. So it was definitely a factor in this whole story, although it's never been proven. But it's very hard to prove, you know, a satanic cult. It's
right, right. And it's not enough that it was a priest murdering a nun, but then there's the involvement of a satanic cult, and then the actual murder scene, and the murder scene, which I'll just give the thumbnail description here, folks, yeah, because we might have families listening. Sure. What you have here is... how many stab wounds were there? There was more than 20 stab wounds. Is that right, David?
Right. 31, including 9 in the shape of an upside down cross.
9 in the shape of an upside down cross. And there were additional things that, we'll just say it, sexual things that were also... this woman was violated. We'll leave it at that. And this all occurred. She was murdered on the altar. This has actually happened in a Catholic hospital inside what would be like the chapel facilities of the hospital, on the altar, and murdered with.
It wasn't on the altar. I'm sorry, but
go ahead,
it was,
sir.
Covered with an altar cloth, but it was in the sacristy next to the chapel.
Okay, next to the chapel. All right. We'll be back with more details. The book, Sin, Shame, and Secrets. Our guest, David Yonke. Horrible story, but the bad guy goes to jail in the end. A little bit of justice, but unreal. Lots more to talk about. We'll be right back.
A reporter is plunged into the dark world of money laundering and the worldwide crime network when he stumbles across a scam so big that his life is on the line. Now the true story can finally be told. An investigation that will take you across the globe to England, Eastern Europe, Australia, Panama, Africa, and New Zealand. How an international network of money launderers got away with more than $100 million stolen from the Christian community. Exposing the Ponzi Masters is the true account of one man determined to expose the truth and the legions that tried to stop him. A story so dark that you won't believe what you are reading. A story so important it's being monitored by government agencies worldwide. Exposing the Ponzi Masters, a true crime expose from James L. Paris, the editor-in-chief of ChristianMoney.com. Exposing the Ponzi Masters, available on Kindle from Amazon.com.
There's a man named Dr. Joel Wallach who is anything but your typical doctor, both a veterinarian and naturopathic physician. Doc asks, why does the United States spend more money on healthcare by far and still rank 50th in health and longevity worldwide? He believes that people should empower themselves with a basic understanding of nutrition, take charge of their health, and attain optimal health and longevity through nutrition, not by toxic prescription drugs that lead to side effects and more toxic prescription drugs. Doc Wallach's message is resonating with an increasing number of Americans who are waking up to all the big government, big pharma, and big insurance manipulation of our healthcare system. I'm George Norrie, and I like what Doc Wallach is saying and doing to enlighten people about healthcare. Visit criticalhealthnews.com and listen to Dr. Wallach's Deadly Recipes lecture. It makes a lot of sense, and I urge you to join our Critical Health News team. Go to criticalhealthnews.com. That's criticalhealthnews.com.
Can Heart and Body Extract help with other ailments besides heart conditions, high blood pressure, clogged arteries, or unbalanced cholesterol? It did for Karen.
I've been using Heart and Body Extract for approximately 2 weeks. I've had an earwax buildup problem for many years, with over-the-counter stuff not working at all. I had very poor hearing due to this earwax buildup. Well, after 2 weeks of taking Heart and Body Extract, my earwax buildup almost completely cleared up. Could this be the effect of better body circulation?
Heart and Body Extract is an effective 100% organic nutritional supplement specially formulated to allow your body to heal itself.
My hearing is almost completely back to normal. I'm amazed.
Order by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for long and healthy life.
Did you know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health? Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of only the most alkaline minerals. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins, and helps you regain health and energy. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen content, and raises the pH of your body to healthy levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
You're listening to Jim Paris Live.
All right, we are back next week in hour number two. My guest is author Bob Cranmer, and we'll be talking about his book, The Demon of Brownsville Road. And that is another book that you are just not going to be able to keep yourself from reading that one as well. Tonight we're talking about the murder of Sister Margaret Ann Paul. And this was a murder that occurred in 1980, and unfortunately it took 24 years, actually 26 years, before the murder conviction of Father Gerald Robinson, who ended up going to prison. He appealed his conviction unsuccessfully, and he ultimately died in prison just last year. He passed away in prison. And let's take some phone calls here. We'll also take some questions by email. If you have a question of your own about this case, again, the book Sin, Shame, and Secrets, A True Story of the Murder of a Nun, The Conviction of a Priest, and the Cover-Up in the Catholic Church. The phone number is 877-317-6432, 877-317-6432. Or questions by email, jim@christianmoney.com. Please include your city when you send the question by email, jim@christianmoney.com, or the call-in number, 877-317-6432. One question we need to get to here, David, is the motive. I'm sure people are saying, Jim, why would a priest kill a nun? What was going on? What was the backstory that would cause? And obviously, I'm a, you know, kind of a, I guess, a couch detective like everybody else. What you see, at least on TV, is they say when someone's stabbed multiple times, it usually shows that there's something personal there. There's a personal anger or a personal outrage. What was the history between these two individuals that could explain a motive for Gerald Robinson killing sister Margaret Ann Paul?
Well, Jim, there were two possible motives. And, you know, as the prosecutor said, there's only one person who really knows, and he wasn't talking about it, and that was Father Gerald Robinson. So the Lucas County Prosecutor's Office had two different theories, and the first one that they presented during the trial was that Sister Margaret Ann Paul had been murdered in a cult ritual, and they gave, you know, they brought in an exorcist, a Catholic exorcist, to explain the symbols, and so they were, you know, they gave the theory that Father Robinson was a member of a satanic cult. Then they had second thoughts, thinking that this might just be too much for a juror to accept, and so they backpedaled. And at the end of the trial, they gave a different motive, and they said that this, you know, we don't know the motive, but one of our theories is that Father Robinson worked at Mercy Hospital as a chaplain, and that was a hospital that was owned and operated by the nuns, the Sisters of Mercy. And Father Robinson, it was pretty well documented that he did not like women. He felt very uncomfortable around women. And traditionally, priests were the top of the ladder. They were the ones that gave the orders. They were the bosses. And he was in a situation where he was answering to nuns, and he didn't like that to start with. Second of all, Sister Margaret Ann was a former administrator of a major hospital, multi-million-dollar business. She was kind of bossy, you know, very demanding, and so she was not an easy person to, you know, for him.
So you had this, this priest who is a misogynist, and then you have this Type A personality woman who's really his boss, for all intents and purposes. And that was one of the scenarios. Did anybody have any testimony to share that there was a history between these two, overheard shouting matches or, you know, memorandums flying back and forth between the two, maybe someone complaining over, Margaret Ann Paul's head to her supervisors? Was there anything substantive about the history between these two, or was it just sort of all speculation?
Well, there was a report that, she was murdered on Holy Saturday. The day before was Good Friday, and the priest who performed the Good Friday service, and there's some dispute about whether it was Father Robinson or his assistant, but she was not happy with the way the Good Friday service had been handled because it had been cut short, and she grabbed one of her co-workers and just about cried and said, "Why do they cheat God what belongs to him?" So she was upset about the Good Friday service, and she was murdered the next day. So you know, that was just one incident that came up during the trial. There was also testimony that he had asked to be transferred out of the hospital. He wanted to become an army chaplain. The bishop didn't acknowledge his request, and so he was getting more and more bitter as time went on.
I've got an email here from Chicago, a listener in Chicago. They want to know more about the satanic cult. They're asking here, if there was ever any others connected to that cult, any other prosecutions. Also, they want to know, is this the sort of satanic cult that also exploited children? Any more backstory that we can put some flesh on about this satanic cult and whether it might even still be operating in the Toledo area?
Yeah, that's a good question. There were reports in the 1980s, and some people refer to it as the Satanic Panic. But the Lucas County Sheriff brought in some bulldozers and digging equipment in a wooded area, saying that he had reports that at least four people a year had been sacrificed in satanic rituals out in this rural area outside Toledo. And he dug it up looking for bodies, and he believed that the sacrifices were done on the solstice, you know, for the spring, summer, winter, and fall. And so that got a lot of publicity, but they never did find any evidence of a cult there. The other thing is, one of the other people who were mentioned by this second nun as being one of her abusers when she was a child was another priest named Father Chet Warren. Father Chet Warren is a religious order priest, not a diocesan priest, but he lives in Toledo. And he had a dozen sex abuse lawsuits settled against him by the diocese and his religious order, and he was barred from ministry, but he's still around. And so he was an associate of Father Robinson, and so there's these links, but they're not, you know, nothing absolutely solid. It's just, you know, there was another woman who came forward and said that Father Robinson had abused her when she was a child, and that he was this is a third woman who came forward and said that she was abused, and she said that she didn't know who her abusers were because they wore masks and sometimes they dressed up as nuns and they molested her, and that she didn't know until she saw him on TV after the arrest. So then
unbelievable.
Yeah, and the lawsuit was eventually dismissed because the statutes of limitations had expired. But
wow.
So there's all these reports, but nothing, you know, absolutely
sort of all out there in the shadows, if you will. We have an email here from Dallas, Texas, and they want to know about the cover up side of this. Are there any folks still around today that are in leadership in the Catholic Church that were involved in the cover-up, and were there any individuals in the end that faced any consequences for their involvement in the cover-up of this crime? We'll get into that after the break. We're taking your questions live, 877-317-6432. 877-317-6432. The murder of Sister Margaret Ann Paul. We'll have our final segment. Stay tuned. Hi, this is Jim Paris, radio talk show host and editor of the website ChristianMoney.com. You may know me from my numerous appearances on the 700 Club. I was a multimillionaire by the age of 30, but ended up in bankruptcy by the age of 40. What I learned during my financial collapse was a revolutionary new way of praying for my finances, and it's revealed in my brand new book, How to Pray for a Financial Miracle. Now, the book has been endorsed by Dave Ramsey, former vice presidential candidate Wayne Allen Root, TV radio talk show host George Norrie, and countless others. I want to send you a free 48-minute audio overview of the book. All I need you to do is call my office and leave your email address on my voicemail. The number to dial, 888-427-8755. 888-427-8755. Again, 888-427-8755.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document, worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at LegalShield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, LegalShield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to LegalShield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let LegalShield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE, 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
I'm Kay Swirling from KSCO Radio in Santa Cruz. I'm 93 years old, and I'm a big fan of Alex Jones because he has the courage to speak his mind more than just about anyone I know. Alex is just as bothered as I am about all the advertising you hear for toxic prescription drugs that make you sicker, not healthy. I prefer to give my body all 90 essential nutrients it needs for life to prevent disease, not compound it. My favorite complete supplement is Beyond Tangy Tangerine from Youngevity, which I take every day along with EFA Plus and Beyond OsteoFX. I recommend you go online to InfoWarsTeam.com to purchase these products and make them part of your daily regimen to get healthy and live longer. InfoWarsTeam.com.
You are listening to Jim Paris Live.
We are back with our final segment, award-winning journalist David Yonke. You can find his website by simply Googling Toledo Faith and Values. If you just Google that, Toledo Faith and Values, you will find his website. If you go to Amazon.com and type in his name, David, and then the last name is spelled Y-O-N, N like in Nancy, K-E, Y-O-N-K-E. The book is Sin, Shame, and Secrets. And we go back to our last question that came in from Dallas, Texas. David, share with us any consequences to others that were involved with running interference and a genuine cover-up here, protecting. Of course, that became quite an art, and we all recognize that for what it was later when the whole pedophilia scandal erupted. But this was before that. Do we have any of the same common names running through that thread, or were there other players, and did anyone else face any real consequences, you know, from within the church, not necessarily legally, but from within the church for covering this up?
Well, the short answer is no. There really was no consequences to anybody involved in the cover-up. There was some efforts to have them held accountable. This SNAP, you know, the Survivors Network of those abused by priests, had stepped forward and called for an investigation into the cover-up. But the in 2003, 2004, the prosecutor's office, you know, wasn't interested in that. They just wanted to pursue the murder case and forget about the past. They said, you know, it doesn't do any good to try and dig up, something, a cover-up that happened 20-something years ago. But it's interesting because it continued into the 2000s because in December of 2003, the cold case detectives went to the Catholic headquarters with a search warrant, asked for the files on Father Robinson. They gave him 2 pages and his portrait, his profile picture. They went back and decided that there's got to be more to his file than that because if he was a suspect in the murder, the diocese probably did their own investigation. They came back with a second search warrant and just barged in, and they got a file that it was 148 pages of documents in there. So the diocese, even in 2003 and 2004, was not cooperating with the law enforcement officials.
Yeah, and that's fascinating. It just goes to show the problem there that's within the organization. I mean, organizationally, the first reaction to cover up and to suppress and to protect someone, and maybe they weren't protecting him as much as they were trying to protect the Catholic Church, and that may have been the mantra behind the scenes, that, hey, this would be bad for the church if this came out, so we have to sort of do the greater good and cover this up so that it doesn't affect the church. And, of course, for our Catholic friends listening, I want to just say this. We're not saying all Catholics are bad, or, you know, just like we found out, you know, with the whole pedophilia scandal, it involved a small percentage of priests, and there was an organizational cover-up, which might have been much broader than those priests that were actually involved. But certainly Catholics are wonderful people. It's a great faith, and I'm personally Protestant, but I've got a lot of great Catholic friends, and this is by no means a prosecution of the entire church. But it does raise a lot of questions. A questioner coming in here with an email from Virginia, asking us, the state of Virginia, asking us if you had faced any threats, whether a personal threat, they're asking here, or even legally, for writing this book, which seems to be groundbreaking journalism. I mean, this is the only priest that was ever convicted of murdering a nun. Am I right about that?
Right.
And yes, you're the guy absolutely. Who wrote the book. So certainly, you know, child abuse is horrific in its own way, but a priest murdering a nun, and you're the guy who wrote the book. This questioner wants to know, did you run up against any personal threats, yeah, legally or otherwise?
Well, that's a very good question. And I was expecting, you know, I was kind of prepared for that in a way, but nothing really ever happened. I mean, I gave a number of talks in Toledo about the book and about this story, and I found that most of the audience were Catholics. You know, I was kind of expecting most, you know, to get the cold shoulder, but they wanted to know the story. They said, nobody's ever told us the truth before, and we finally got it. So they were actually grateful. And, you know, a lot of, it's kind of funny, but a lot of good Catholics were saying they were buying the book for their mom, you know, for her birthday or something. And I was like, you really want your mom to read it?
Yeah. This is not a book. Mom, you know? Yeah. Probably this is not a Mother's Day book, folks. Maybe buy this for yourself and wrap it, you know, in a brown paper bag when you're reading it. Because it's, and by the way, I heard on the other interview that I listened to that the original cover actually had a picture of Father Robinson presiding over the funeral of Margaret Ann Paul, the nun that he murdered. I mean, how surreal is that? Yeah. That was actually your book cover, the first book cover. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. And in fact, the photo is included in the new edition that just came out. I added some new chapters and you know, things that happened since the trial. But yeah, the cover did feature that picture, but it was just kind of hard to explain. I mean, it was, once you know what it is, it really grabs you. But until you know that that's him and that's her casket there, you know, I didn't think it really worked. But it is stunning that the priest would conduct a funeral of the woman he was convicted of murdering, you know, 26 years later. And also, if you remember then during the interview, that in the middle of the Sister Margaret Ann's funeral, there was all of a sudden a clear day, a tremendous storm blew up and blew open the doors of the chapel and sent leaves like skittering across the floor, and people thought that the roof was going to cave in, and then it was gone. So it was just really...
Wow, that gives me chills. That's like just like a scene out of The Exorcist or something. I mean, wow. Unbelievable. Well, Toledo's a small town. You know, it's not New York, but it's not Mayberry. It's a smaller town, a smaller TV market. What are the lasting impact? What is the lasting impact of this story? Whatever happened to that hospital? And did they plow it down and put a memorial there? Is there still buzz about this in the community about what happened? What are sort of the lasting lessons and impact from all of this?
Well, the hospital did close eventually, and it's become a teaching hospital now. It's a nurse's school, basically. People still talk about this case because it's so strange. When I run into people, they always have questions about it. After the conviction, his defense attorneys and the appeals raised some other interesting issues, that kind of still stirred the pot even more, saying that maybe it was a different priest who killed the nun, not Father Robinson. They also surmised that in these court documents, that there was a serial killer living an hour away in Detroit that could have done it because he murdered numerous women by stabbing them. So there's all these theories that are still swirling around. But I personally, I went into the trial keeping an open mind and, saying, let's just see what the evidence is. And I believe they proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that Father Robinson was the killer.
And is it true that Father Robinson was given the last rites, notwithstanding his murder conviction?
Yes, he was barred from public ministry, but he was never defrocked or laicized, so he remained a priest in good standing, so to speak. And his funeral was a regular priest funeral with no. They mentioned that he had been, convicted of murder, but they said, only God knows what really happened, that type of thing. So there was some kind of outcry about the fact that he was given full rights as a priest when he was.
And he
buried.
Maintained his innocence until the very end. Is that right?
Right. He never testified during the trial, but afterwards, after the conviction, he signed an affidavit saying he didn't do it. So the prosecutor, I asked him for a comment. He said, well, it's a little too late. He should have said that before the trial or during
the
trial.
Yeah, absolutely. So. The book is Sin, Shame, and Secrets. David Yonke, thanks so much for joining us here on Jim Paris Live. Fascinating read. Fascinating. Sir, if you do nothing else in your life, and I'm telling you this from the bottom of my heart, you writing this book, you have lived.
Thank you.
What a contribution. And, a lot of good will come from this because those that covered this up now know that there are David Yonkes around that will not let them do that in the future. Thanks so much for joining us. Check out the website, ChristianMoney.com. We'll be back next week. Don't miss it. Jim Paris Live, Sunday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
Your personal rights and freedoms are under fire. Rising prices, drought conditions, domestic threats, and excessive government regulations only increase the threat. Having a supply of food is the difference between freedom and captivity. Depression time bread lines extended for blocks, and those at the end of the line not only experienced fear and humiliation, but often did not receive any food. Having a supply of GoFoods will keep you out of the bread lines and allow you freedom from government dependency for one of your greatest needs. Whether today or in 25 years, GoFoods will be there for you when you need it most. Buy it today, save it for later, feed your freedom. Special values now available. Call us at 800-648-9753 or on the web at www.storefoodnow.com. That's 800-648-9753 or www.storefoodnow.com.